الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
There are many many blessings and benefits of reciting durood and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is something like this, that Allah azza wa jal, he said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, O Musa, I have given you 1,000 ears with which you listen to my voice, and I gave you 1,000 tongues with which you talked with me. O Musa alayhi salam, if you want to be more closer in my court, then recite durood and salam upon my beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. My dear Islam brothers, alhamdulillah, we're all here to celebrate the beautiful night of Mi'raj al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's so many things we can learn from the Mi'raj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that sacred journey into the heavens past Sidratul Muntaha, and then see Allah azza wa jal with his own eyes. So much happened in that night, and from Makkatul Mukarramah to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem to Sidratul Muntaha, and from Sidratul Muntaha to La Makkah, there is so much which happened in between. And inshallah azza wa jal, a few things we will learn. And as Amir al-Sunnah says, that we should try to listen to the bayan attentively, because we are here to learn something. And inshallah azza wa jal, we'll be successful if we go back from this ijtima and we have learned something. Because our aim, our mission is not that we come to the ijtima and listen, but our aim and our mission should be that we are here to listen to something, and then inshallah azza wa jal try to act upon that, and then to pass on to others as well. On the night of Mi'raj, that blessed night on the 27th of Rajab, it says that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was resting at the house of Sayyida Umm Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now that house where Sayyida Umm Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha lived, that house is now part of Masjidul Haram, just a few feet away from where the Hadim is, where the Hajis, they do the Tawaf of the Kaaba. Just a few feet away, there was the house of Sayyida Umm Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now that part is of the Masjid now. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was resting, and Allah azza wa jal, he sent Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. Now why did Mi'raj take place? The scholars, they have mentioned that in many many books, why this sacred journey it took place. And some of the scholars, they have written that because at that time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going through very very difficult time. His wife Sayyida Khatijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, his uncle Abu Talib passed away, and then there were so few Muslims. And then at that time, when only these few Muslims were being persecuted by the Kufar of Makkah, it was a very very hard time for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was upset. And he says that to cheer the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah azza wa jal, he arranged for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this sacred journey of Mi'raj, and to show him his secrets of the heavens, and such secrets that no other Prophet before him was ever shown these secrets. And he says that when Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, he came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he was resting. Now look at the adab, the respect Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam is being taught by Allah Azza wa Jal. Such respect that he says that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, shall I knock on the door and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will wake up? Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, no Jibreel, don't knock on the door. Oh Allah, shall I call out his name and he will wake up? And Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, oh Jibreel, don't even call out his name. He says that Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, oh Jibreel, place your lips on the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kiss his feet, he will wake up. Look at the respect. And who is respecting? He is the leader of all the angels, the leader of all the innocent angels. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, he went and he kissed the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he woke up. And he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he inquired of Jibreel, what is the problem? Why are you here? And he says, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, O Prophet of Allah, tonight Allah Azza wa Jal is going to bless you with so many blessings and so many mercies that no other Prophet before you has ever been blessed in this way. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, O Jibreel, how is Allah Azza wa Jal going to bless me tonight? And he says, O Prophet of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal wishes to meet you. And he says, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was telling these to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time he says, the buraq, the transport of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was arranged as well. What was the transport of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says that he was a buraq. Buraq is an animal, just like in between a horse and a donkey. He was an animal. And this animal was in paradise. All the buraqs, they were in paradise. And he says that when Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, he went to choose one of the buraqs, and there were so many of them. And all of them were so excited that today they are going to be, it could be them, that who could be blessed as being the transport of the last Prophet of Allah. And everyone was so happy, and they were all jumping around. And he says in one corner, there was one buraq who was stood still and he was crying. Kabhi kabhi iske rasool mein rona bhi pyare Islam bhaiyo, ye kaam aa jata hai. But that buraq, he was stood in one corner and he was crying. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, he went up to him and he says, why are you crying for? Look at all of them. They are so happy, they are so pleased. And this buraq, he says, oh, ya Jibreel, why I am crying for is that I think to myself that I might not be the one who's been chosen. It could be one of them. And he says, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, he says that, no, I am going to choose you, and you are going to be the transport for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kis kya kismat hi us buraq ki, ke jo buraq pyare aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki sawari bana. When this night, when this journey of Mi'raj is started. Now this journey of Mi'raj was in three sections. It wasn't that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went straight into the heavens. It was in three stages. And the first stage of Mi'raj, which Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned in Surah Bani Israel, para number 15, the first verse of Surah Bani Israel, Subhanal ladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. That was the first stage of Mi'raj, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started the journey from Makkah al Mukarramah to Masjid al Aqsa, from Masjid al Haram to Masjid al Aqsa. The ulama kiram, they have said that there are so many thousands of prophets of Allah who are buried around Masjid al Aqsa as well. Where the masjid is, there are so many thousands of the prophets of Allah who are buried. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says in the Quran, Alladhi barakna hawlahu. Alladhi barakna hawlahu. That is barakat around this masjid. What barakat can you talk about? And imagine that night, such a beautiful, such a special night it was. And he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he led the namaz for all the prophets. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, he gave azan. And then he looked at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, O Prophet of Allah, no one is going to walk forward apart from you today. You are the Imam al-Anbiya. You are the leader of all the prophets. Walk forward and lead the namaz. And he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he led the namaz. Now, whilst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was on his journey, he passed over a place. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that I saw, when I looked down, I saw that it was the grave of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam. And I saw that Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he was offering his salah. Musa alayhi salam apni qabr mubarak mein namaz padh rahe hain. He was offering his salah. So alhamdulillah, anyone who dies, just like Allah Ta'ala, He says in the Quran, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember me, I'll remember you. If you remember Allah in this world, Allah will never forget you, my dear Islam brothers. If we remember Allah as we are supposed to remember Allah, inshallah, when we are buried in our graves, and inshallah, on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will not forget you. And a beautiful waqia as well about those people, when they remember Allah, how Allah Ta'ala will bless them as well. He says about Hazrat Sayyidina Thabit Bunani Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, a very, very pious person, a wali Allah of his time. And he says that Sayyidina Thabit Bunani, his ibadat, his taqwa, his fear of Allah, his love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says that Sayyidina Thabit Bunani Rahmatullahi Alaihi, every day he would finish one holy Quran. He would read the Quran once every day. Now you think to yourself, how did he get that time? Today we are, now this is one thing we are lacking. I don't have time. I'm so busy in my work. You know, I'm sorry, my dear Islam brothers, come and read your namaz in the masjid. Come, we have Madrasa Balighan trying to teach you the Holy Quran. Fi sabilillah, we're not going to charge you anything. I'm sorry, I don't even have time. So we don't have time to read the Quran. And yeah, look at these awliya-i kiram, how they spend their lives reading the Quran. And he says that Sayyidina Thabit Bunani Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, Tahdeeth and Ni'mat, so that the Ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has given him, he says that in our Jami Masjid, there is not a pillar where I have not finished one Quran near that pillar. Har masjid ke ek sutoon ke kareeb aapne ek ek Quran paak ka khatam kiya. Kitne pyare, how much love he had for the Holy Quran. And he says that Sayyidina Thabit Bunani Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, the love he had for the Quran, sometimes he would say, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, you make dua. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, if you ever give anyone the ability to read the Quran, Ya Allah, give me the ability that when I die, I will read the Quran in my grave. فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember Allah, Allah will remember you as well. And he says that at the time of his death, Sayyidina Thabit Bunani Rahmatullah Alayhi, at the time of his death, when people buried him in the grave, one of the stone, it fell inside the grave. One of the bricks, it fell inside. And this person, he says that I went inside, I put my hand in, just to lift up the brick. And he says that I was shocked that I saw Sayyidina Thabit Bunani Rahmatullah Alayhi, who we have just buried inside the grave, he was standing up and he was offering his namaz. Qabr mein itni namaz se mohabbat, pyare Islam bhaiyo. Now this time, this is a time for reward. This is a time for reward when you are inside your grave. That is a time for reward. Whatever you have done in this world, you are going to be rewarded or punished for what we have done in this world. And you can look at the love he had for salah, for namaz, that even after he dies, he's offering his namaz. And further on he says that the people, they say that whenever we passed by the mazar of Sayyidina Thabit Bunani Rahmatullah Alayhi, the people, they say that we witnessed, that we heard with our own ears, that we could hear the recitation of the Quran coming from inside the grave. Ya Islam bhaiyo, that is what you call love of the Quran, that is what you call fear of Allah. All his life he had so much love, and how Allah Ta'ala has not forgotten him. That dua he would make inside the word, that Ya Allah, give me the ability to recite the Quran in my grave. Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua, and he is reciting the Quran inside his grave. So that, my dear Islam brothers, is a wake up lesson for all of us. Especially because this is so much. When was the last time, you know, keep repeating these words, when was the last time we read the Quran? We've got all, everyone's got a copy of the Holy Quran, yet it's been months we have not even looked at the Holy Quran. And such a beautiful book, such a special book, that people are doing so many degrees just on the knowledge of the Quran itself. For even the kuffar, they are trying to get so much knowledge from this Quran. And yet we Muslims, we are lacking even reading the Quran properly. So many Muslims, they don't even know how to read the Quran properly. How to read the Quran with tarteel, with tajweed. We don't know how to read that. My dear Islam brothers, come into Dawat-e-Islami. Dawat-e-Islami will teach you the Quran. Now it's up to us. If we say we don't have time, remember, there's one thing we should remember. One of the farz of namaz is to recite the Quran. And if someone does not recite the Quran properly in his namaz, then his farz is not fulfilled properly. And what will happen? On the day of judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, a person, he will have 60 years of worship will be thrown at his face. Why? His ruku, his sujood will not be properly. So let's learn, my dear Islam. You gotta take time out. We have to sacrifice some of our time. Inshallah azza wa jal. Karenge na sare. Inshallah azza wa jal. That's first instant. Remember, if you don't learn the Quran, you can't read your namaz properly. And if you don't read your namaz properly, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the key for paradise is salah. Is namaz, as-salatu miftahul jannah, is the key for paradise. If you don't have the key, you're not going to enter paradise. So inshallah azza wa jal, let's try to get this key properly. And by learning the Quran as well. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was offering his namaz inside his grave. And he says that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he reached Masjid al-Aqsa, he saw Musa alayhi salam there as well. So that also proves to you that the prophets of Allah, even though they die from this world, but it's only for a split second. Allah Ta'ala will return their soul and they will be living like me and you, but we don't even remember. We don't know how their lives are. Just like Allah Azza wa Jalla, He talks about the shaheed inside the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala, He says, you don't know they are alive. And in another place in the Holy Quran, it says that they are being fed just like me and you. So is the shaheed someone who is a martyr? If he is alive inside his grave, what will you say about the prophets of Allah? So all the prophets of Allah, alhamdulillah, are alive inside their graves. And it says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the second part, the second stage of Mi'raj started, that was from Jerusalem up to Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha is the boundary place where Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam stays. And it says that Sidratul Muntaha is a tree. And that is the place where Jibreel alayhi salam lives. And that is the boundary. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam cannot cross that boundary. And it says that from Masjid al-Haram, from Makkah, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam all the way. And then when they reached to Sidratul Muntaha, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, the Prophet of Allah, this is the furthest I can come with you. Now you are going to start your journey alone. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Jibreel, why are you leaving me alone? Come with us. Come with me. And he says, Jibreel alaihi salam, he says, O Prophet of Allah, if I move one inch further, that's it, I'll be perished. My wings will burn. I cannot go beyond that point. O Prophet of Allah, you are the only one who is going to cross this point. No one else has been given the ability. No one else has been given that power to cross this boundary apart from you. Go, O Prophet of Allah, start your journey. Subhanallah, what can you say, my dear Islam brothers? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started his journey. And he says about Burak. Today we talk about, you know, rockets or cars going faster than, you know, the speed of sound. How fast does Burak travel? In one of the books it says that Burak can travel 50,000 years in just one step. And in another place it says that where Burak could see, his step would fall there. That is how fast Burak would travel. You can't imagine, you know, even to the first heaven, how many millions of light years is going to take you to travel from the world to the first heaven. No one knows that. You have theories, so many lights and so many millions of light years. No one knows the exact number. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he traveled from Jerusalem to Sidratul Muntaha, and from there on he traveled. You can't even call it a place because it's known as La Makan, no place. The time stopped. No place and no time. That is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went. And it says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now here, let me just, another thought of the shaitan, he'll whisper, especially for those who are too much into science, because you want a theory for everything, we want an answer for everything. Yeah, but how come? You know, you go into the air in an aeroplane, you go 30,000 feet up in the air, and if you don't have oxygen in the cabin, you die. So how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he go into the air? So you have people who are, you know, so-called educated people, modern educated people who will ask you these kind of questions. How come that is impossible? Why? Because we are judging with our minds, and our minds are very, very small. We have a limit to where we can think. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't have any limits. And in the verse, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, it says that Allah is the one who took his bondsman. Allah is the one who took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here we can fight the shaitan that, oh shaitan, Allah azza wa jal, inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir, Allah has power over everything. If he wants, he can take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't need no oxygen, you don't need no mask. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was taken into the heavens, when Bani Israel came to martyr Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, what happened at that time? There wasn't that the angels, they came and they bought masks and all tubing and everything, we're going to take you into the heavens. No, when the command of Allah was there, inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir, Allah azza wa jal took Isa alayhi salatu wasalam into the heavens. And if he can take Isa alayhi salam, why can't he not take the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam? Now here there is another debate, that was the Mi'raj the soul, or was it a dream, or was it the whole body? And the biggest commentator of the Holy Quran, the Mufassir of the Quran, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was asked that question. And he was asked the question, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go with the body and the soul? Was it a dream, or was it just the soul? And Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and even in a place, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they all mentioned this, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with his body and his soul. So it was the body and the soul who protected him. Allah Ta'ala protected him. So with all the atmosphere and all that, there wasn't no problem, because Allah is the one who created atmosphere, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who will look after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw on the night of Mi'raj? He says in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that on the night of Mi'raj, I saw the guardian angel of the fire of hell, and I also saw the Dajjal as well. And I met with Musa alayhi salam. So where did Musa alayhi salam be? He was in the world, in the grave, reading his namaz, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met him in Jerusalem. Musa alayhi salam read namaz behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was in the seventh heaven, he met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam there as well. So that also proves that if a Prophet of Allah, he can be in many places at one time. That is why they say that the aqidah of the Ahl Sunnah, alhamdulillah, such a beautiful aqidah, that every person who dies, and the third question which is inside the grave, مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ فِي حَكِّ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ, what did you used to say about this person? And he says that even though millions of people die at the same time, the same day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given that power, that he can be in every grave at the same time in a split second. Now, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he met with many different prophets of Allah. When the journey was continuing, in the first heaven, he met with Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. In the second heaven, he met with all these prophets of Allah, Harun alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and all these prophets of Allah. And he met with all of them. And in the seventh heaven, he met with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he went and he saw the vision of Allah, it says that at that time, Allah azza wa jal, he gave a gift to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And that gift, as we all know, was the gift of namaz. 50 times, 50 namaz. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was coming back, he met Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who asked him, O Prophet of Allah, and he says, the ulama-i kiram, they mention here, that why did Musa alayhi salam try to stop the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam all the time? It wasn't he wanted to ask him, he was looking into the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam so that he could see the vision of Allah as well. And he says that when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what did Allah ta'ala give you for your ummah? And he says that Allah ta'ala has blessed me with 50 salah, 50 namaz for my ummah. And my dear Islam brothers, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that he sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam back. He says, O Prophet of Allah, your ummah, I have tested you on my ummah, they are never going to do that. And how true he was. They are not going to read 50. Please go back and get them reduced. So we've got a very, very big favor. Musa alayhi salam's favor is upon us. And he says that 9 times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he went back to Allah. First he was called, now he's going back himself. 9 times. And he says that the 9th time when he met Musa alayhi salam, he says, the Prophet of Allah, your ummah will not even read 5. Go back and get them reduced. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, he says, no, I'm not going to go back. My ummah will read 5 times. This is such a long waqia that we can't really talk about this waqia. Allah Azza wa Jal give me and you the ability to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.